You Keep Me Hanging On was a number one song in 1966 for the Supremes. A year later, Vanilla Fudge did a psychedelic version of it, and it went to number one again. One of only six songs, I guess, in the history of the Billboard charts to be number one by two different artists. We're talking with Grant Cameron, and I know it's been a dizzying array of names here. We're going to go through a list to get some of the key players and the roles that they have played or what he suspects they've played. People like Ron Pandolfi. Maybe we'll talk about Linda Howe, Bill Moore, maybe Bob Lazar, Dan Smith. There's a lot of ground still to cover here as we consider the different tentacles of the scenario that Grant is sharing with us tonight. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM. Grant Cameron, I remember back in 89, we first aired the Bob Lazar story, and the whole world beat a path to the door of Area 51. And I remember the reaction from the UFO world was, obviously, this is disinformation, or the military is just playing with us. They want to distract attention from something else that's underway out there at Area 51 to give a cover story to some other project, to which I responded, well, that's the stupidest strategy I ever heard, because as a result of those Lazar stories, Area 51 was put on the map. Every news organization in the world beat a path to their door. Thousands and thousands of people went out into the desert by busloads to watch whatever it was that was flying around out there. It created huge headaches for the military at what used to be its most secure, most classified facility. So I ask you in that context, is it possible that we're all being misled, that this is all a large gamesmanship on the part of our government to distract the Russians from something else, to keep the Russians busy chasing stories about flying saucers and little green men?
Well, that was during the break, that's what I had written down, is Area 51. It's the prime example of maybe why this isn't true. I mean, it's the plausible deniability. They want the story to come out not clean, so you really don't know what the story is. Like, you know there's probably some sort of craft stuff going on at Lockheed Skunk Works up at Area 51. There may have been a live alien there, but you're really not sure. And so that's I think what they have is they want everybody off guard, not just the Russians, but the example you showed was clear, and that's I think how they do the story is the intention for Area 51. The way I described the story was you need a character. The person that they always give the story to is always sort of got some problems. So you've got Bob Lazar. He's kind of like a Dan Smith character. He's kind of a little bit strange. He's, you know, putting rockets on the back of cars. He bought a, you know, nuclear missile silo. You know, he was helping run a brothel. You know, he had this.
He could be discredited if they needed to do it.
Yeah, and he had the resume that they probably knew that he wasn't quite what it was made out to be. And so the idea was to put him, and according to the story that I heard, was that Bob said during the second interview at EG&G, before he went up to the base, the first question in the second interview was, what's your relationship to John Lear and what do you think about him?
That's true.
And that, to me, was the idea, was the story was to be carried by, not by you, but by John Lear. And as people don't know the history, that in 1989, Las Vegas was the center for the MUFON conference, and John Lear was the state representative for MUFON, and he was running the conference, and they actually pulled the conference away from him because he had all these bizarre ideas. He was going to bring these bizarre people into lecture, and so if you want to carry the story, you want John Lear to carry the story. So the story is going to be, oh, we've got a live alien, we've got some UFOs at Area 51, and everybody's going to go, ah, John Lear, don't worry about it, like, forget it. And as what happened, in spring of 1989, you're missing the guest on the show, and you tell John, you know, you got this guy that claimed you off at Area 51, I need a guest, bring him on. And then it's suddenly Emmy Award winning guy doing the story, and suddenly everybody goes like, well, this must be for real. And then it changed. It wasn't John, it was you carrying the story. And that's when the story went viral. If you had not put him on that night, the story probably would have been like every other UFO story, just sort of floated around. Nobody really believed it. And so that's, I think, how they put this sort of stuff out. But they do put the cover type stories. For example, Ron Pandolfi, who I say is the key guy.
All right, tell the audience who he is.
He's a guy who used to, 1983, and I even got an email that was read to me from Ron, that he came into the White House as a graduate. He has a PhD in physics, very smart guy, became friends with Ronald Reagan, and has sort of been in the White House since 1983. and has in when the Rockefeller went in the Clinton administration, we know because it's in the Rockefeller files that I recovered from the Clinton administration, when they wanted a UFO briefing, because they heard Rockefeller was coming to the White House, they asked for a UFO briefing from the CIA, and it was tasked to Ronald Pandolfi. So he's sort of like the UFO guy. He hates the term, from what I hear. He doesn't like the UFO weird desk or the CIA desk, but he's basically a guy who moved up to the Office of Director of National Intelligence, now is sort of back at CIA or has some sort of intelligence job. It's sources and methods, so nobody really knows who he is, but everybody that deals with him, everybody that's around him that I talk to, if you say, is he still in intelligence, they say, yes, he's in intelligence, and he is high up in intelligence. He is untouchable. He can do what he wants. And even the story that Dan Smith put out in 1992, he was talking, and I've got a list of 24 different people that Ron Pandolfi has talked to that will not deny. These are researchers that have interacted with him. So he'll interact with a lot of people. He'll answer questions. He's not, you know, this elusive type guy. And in 1992, he was dealing with Dan Smith and Rosemary Guiley, and they were working on crop circles. And so Dan got the idea, well, why is he dealing, if the CIA is not involved in UFOs, what's he dealing with us for? So he actually reports them. And there's an investigation that's done by the an agency, and they spend $100,000, and they come to the conclusion that part of Ron Pandolfi's job is to deal with Dan Smith. And so since 1991, he's been dealing with Dan Smith and a number of other researchers, Bruce McAbee. He actually allowed Bruce McAbee to go into the CIA headquarters and lecture on MJ-12 after the MJ-12 documents were released. So he's had a lot of interactions with a lot of major researchers. And I see him sort of as the liaison and the guy who claims that he briefed Donald Trump on this last go-round. So he's dealing with a lot of different people. And he's sort of the key of all these sort of Avery. And so it started as the Avery in the 1980s under Bill Moore. And then, of course, it gets more complex because then Dan Smith wants to change it to the aquarium. So then all these guys suddenly become fish. And so Ron Pandolfi becomes the pelican. Then suddenly now he's the catfish. And that's why when I send people to Open Minds Forum, where all this stuff is openly being blogged about by Dan Smith, people will go there and they'll say, I can't read that garbage. That's absolutely nuts. And so when you get this counterintelligence thing, are they running an operation? Most people don't know that Dan Smith, who's the key to this thing, he has at Open Minds Forum, he has six people who follow him. I'm one, and Gary Beckham is another. So between me and Gary Beckham, we're the only ones that are really watching what he's talking about with UFOs. The other guys are talking about this eschatology, end of the world stuff with him and stuff like that. He's only got six people, and that's what Jack Vallée said. It's very peculiar to me, as Jack Vallée said, that they would target this information against such a small group of people who have absolutely no influence on anything. And that's true. I mean, there's basically Gary Beckham and I watching this thing at Open Minds Forum as they brief about Trump and what's going on in the administration, Ron Pandolfi and stuff. We're the only people that are really watching, and we really don't have any influence. I don't have any influence in business or government or anything. And so the question is, well, why are they, if they're disinforming, and Dan has even brought this up, it doesn't make any sense. Why would they disinform when really nobody's watching Dan Smith? I'm trying to get people to follow the story, but really nobody's watching the story. It's happening right out in the open. In fact, Ron Pandolfi's wife is actually having internet meetings with Dan Smith, and she's the wife of the guy who briefs the president. And according to what Ron put out, she helped brief Trump on a certain part of this of the story. And her and Ron went to the Vatican, had a meeting with the Pope. So these aren't like low-level type people. She's actually having open meetings. And the last one that they had that I attended had 14 people. Like, nobody's paying attention. And Ron is sitting in the room. And he's actually, the odd time, he'll answer a question, but he's sort of like, so I call it the puppet. Like, you have Dan Smith as the puppet. He's reporting to the assistant puppet master, who is Ron's wife. Ron is the puppet master. He's running this whole thing. And people ask questions. And the one question we asked was this controversy about Stephen Greer. Does Stephen Greer report to Ron Pandolfi? Because this was a source that I trust said that Stephen had said this, that he was upset that he had to go back to Washington and he had to report to Ron at the CIA UFO desk. So the question was asked to him by a producer at Gaia, who was on this show, And so you could hear Ron in the background, and he's saying, "What stories?" And then the producer re-answered the question, and Ron didn't say anything. And then someone said, "I think you just got the answer to your question. Did you deal with Stephen Greer?" So this is the thing, is like Ron is there, and they're doing this right in the open. He's there on the internet, and they have these meetings about every 2 weeks, and anybody can go, and if you have a question you want to ask Ron or his wife, you ask the question, and I watch the chat. They ask all the questions. They don't sometimes sort of walk around questions, but they're doing this right out in the open.
And a couple of weeks ago,
may have briefed six presidents in a row.
A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine named Bob Bigelow was on 60 Minutes. The profile story was supposed to be about his aerospace company and his craft that's now attached to the ISS. And then Laura Logan, the correspondent, got into UFOs. Now, you know, they've been working on this story since 2015, so we've known that what was coming. But what even Bob Bigelow didn't know, and I didn't know, was what approach 60 Minutes was going to take with the UFO topic, because they could certainly take a much different approach than they did. But they took it seriously. They let him talk. They didn't make fun of him. They asked him, "Won't people think you're crazy?" And he said, "I don't care." What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing the same sort of thing. I think when you asked him a couple of years back about this disclosure, he said confirmation. So it's the same thing. It's not disclosure, it's confirmation. There's going to be some sort of confirmation that this is going on, and he talks about the proprietary information, that the material is proprietary, the government, the businesses, so he's seeing it from a business aspect, that people have invested a lot of money in this, and that the thing's actually for real. This is actually going on. And one of the stories I'd heard just in the last couple of days is that Ron had sent somebody to Las Vegas to interview him, to interview John Alexander, whose name is always floating around, and to interview Joe Firmich, who's another guy who apparently is like Bob, who had a lot of money. And then they're talking about Firmich with an actual portal, that he's working with Ron on a back-engineered portal. And these are key figures that you know that these guys, we know they've been involved. They put a lot of money into this kind of stuff. And so their names are all popping up, the same as Hal Puthoff's name keeps popping up. John Alexander's name is always popping up, and it's these guys recycle. So they're to start with Bill Moore, then they all these same names appear with John Alexander's UFO working group. Then they're involved with Bob Emmenegger's documentary. Then suddenly Bob Bigelow's got NIDS, and they all appear at NIDS. And Tom DeLonge has a lot of these names. Jacques Vallée's name is circulated there, John Alexander. And then you take Annie Jacobs, and she comes up with her book. And as I said, it's phenomenology. It's all this. It's not just UFOs. It's all these different phenomena. And, of course, she names John Alexander, Kit Green, Geller, Graf, who is one of the birds, Hal Puthoff, Russell Targ. The same names just circulate over and over again that these guys are very interested, and any sort of time there's some sort of effort going on, they get called in as advisors. So, it would make sense that if you want to know, if you're Bob Bigelow and you've got some money and you want to know what's going on in the UFO community, you know who the players are. So if you're the Russians, you don't have to circulate stories to you and me and all these sort of, they know who the figures are, who are the key figures. They're the same people, the names have been appearing for 30 years.
Yeah, I know some of those guys. Let's go back to Tom DeLonge. So when the story first comes out that he's developed these sources, a lot of we did it on this show, and a lot of people gave me grief over it. It's a bunch of baloney. They can't believe it. Rockstar can't possibly get any kind of interesting information about UFOs. Nobody's going to share anything. If they are, it's all disinformation. And then the WikiLeaks things happen. John Podesta's emails get leaked. And there are the communications from Tom DeLonge to Podesta in which he names the names of some of his advisors, at least the people who were the initial advisors. You write about it.
Yeah. That's how I got dragged into this thing, is I knew one of the people that was involved. He's now pulled out, and they're trying to pitch their own project. But he was giving me the inside, what was going on with Tom DeLonge, and I knew, like, for example, John Podesta was one of his people and had this meeting on January 25th, 2016, where they have two generals and the head of Lockheed Skunk Works, and Tom DeLonge, he's only talking about UFO disclosures, so these were real sources. And the other one I knew before he joined Tom DeLonge, that was Jim Semivan, who joined Tom DeLonge in April 2016, but I knew about him long before that. because he was involved with the guy he's an experiencer who was involved with Tom DeLonge, and because Jim Semivan is an experiencer, he had the beings in his bedroom with his wife in the 1990s, and of course was fascinated in this whole subject. And apparently, I heard, didn't get briefed until after he left, retired from the CIA. And he's basically now supposedly running Tom DeLonge's operation. But I knew him before then, and knew that he was running some of these operations and trying to get this sort of stuff out. So I knew that, and also know that there's a general from the intelligence or the satellite agency where they track the satellites. So I'd heard about all these different people, and his NASA people. I'm pretty sure I know who his NASA people are. And I'd met the NASA guy. He's a guy who had a big invention, and I talked to him about his experience. He had a hooded figure standing at the end of his bed. And so that's what people got to realize, is that a lot of these people, like Semivan, this guy from NASA, and a lot of these people, like in the first hours, you talked about Hynek, about having UFO sightings, that a lot of these people are experiencers, that they get dragged into this thing. And once you get in, you can't get out of this thing. You can't shake this thing. So you have people inside the government, and I was told 50 of them that have been sent to Kit Green to see, are you crazy or are you an experiencer? What's really going on here? John Alexander points this out, that if you have 10% of people who are experiencers on the outside in high level government, you're going to have 10% of experiencers as well. So you have this thing where these high level people have been dragged into this thing, and they're interested, and they're working on these sort of projects, and they're not evil guys. They're just trying to do the best they can to protect the classified information and to try to get this sort of stuff out. And I know a lot of them. So I knew, whatever people want to say, Tom DeLonge does have the sources that he says he has. The only difference that I would say is that Tom DeLonge is saying, okay, it's evil aliens. And then you have Stephen Greer, who has 540 witnesses, and he says, no, it's not evil aliens, it's evil government. So I don't think that the government is talking to anybody in these different groups, whether it's Tom DeLonge or Greer or Dan Smith. And Dan Smith even confirmed to me a couple days ago, this is true, that they really don't talk to you about who the beings are or any sort of religious stuff or how this sort of thing. They stick to just a plan of helping you do your sort of thing. And all these people are coming up with these ideas on their own, that they brought these ideas in. So, but Tom DeLonge, absolutely, I can assure people, and I've known about this for a long time, the Tom DeLonge operation, and I've heard everything that's happening. It's still on track. It's still going to happen. There's huge money involved in this thing. Even my friend told me how much money that they were offered for his part of the production. There's somebody very, 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 very rich that's involved in this thing, that's financing this thing. But it's not a disclosure. It's a Hollywood thing where he's going to, you know, run productions, and they're going to have toys, and, you know, it's going to be like a Star Wars type thing. But it's not the disclosure people think, that Tom DeLonge is not going to step up and say, here's the president, he's going to say this. It's this gradual thing, and working through his media organization.
Well, we live in interesting times, don't we? I mean,
you were
ready to hang it up. You were ready to give your files away.
I gave them away. I absolutely gave them away. And then what happened was that Hillary Clinton came out and said, oh, the most requested item at the Clinton Library was UFOs. And I'm going, like, they're actually paying attention. I couldn't believe it. And then I gave it up again. And then what happened was the WikiLeaks thing happened, and her campaign manager, John Podesta, gets involved. And he's tied in with DeLonge, and DeLonge's got the 10 sources. And I had so many experiences through my life where I get dragged into, whether it's Emmenegger or Bill Moore and the Avery or all these different things. I go, well, I got to put this all down. People don't realize that Tom DeLonge is only one of 50 cases like this. They've been doing this over and over again to various people, and they're not evil people. That's how they do it. This is how they operate. And like Tom says, I report everything. I get permission before I do anything. And I call these people puppets. In the book I set up 5 messiahs. So Stephen Greer thinks he's a messiah. Dan Smith thinks he's a messiah. And they actually think that they've been called to bring this story to the world. And Tom DeLonge believes he's been called to bring the story to the world. They have very big egos. Everybody's easy to sort of manage, and they are being helped, but at the same time, they're being controlled. They're controlling the story of what these guys put out.
All right. We're hearing the story from Grant Cameron. You almost need a flowchart to keep up with all this stuff. His book is called Managing Magic. We'll be right back. Martha and the Vandellas, Heat Wave, take us into the break. the multi-talented Marty Stewart, a song of his called Little Things, a little rockabilly there to take us into our final segment. We're talking with Grant Cameron about his book, Managing Magic, sort of a Byzantine web of relationships in the murky world of UFO secrets. His idea, as we've heard over the last hour and a half, that it's an acclimation program as opposed to disclosure, gradually leaking out little bits and pieces at a time. I'll take a couple of your calls and questions and comments, and then I have a couple of matters I want to bring up with Grant in our final segment coming up. Grant, before we go to the phones, you had mentioned, and you write in the book about what you think Donald Trump has been read into this, that somebody has told him. I would think it'd be awfully tempting for Trump to go ahead and uncork it, considering all the rest that's going on in his life and in his presidency. What do you say to that?
Well, there's probably thousands of black budget programs, and whether it's Trump or any other president, I've never heard anybody talk about any sort of black budget program. I understand the thing where Trump can't sort of keep quiet. All I can say is that Dan assures me that Ron has said that he, Woesley, and a guy by the name of Mike Pillsbury went in there and told him. And Dan tells a story, and you can see these stories recycling, that one of the things they sort of did to get to keep him amused is they gave him what was called a goodie bag, which has some UFO technology items. And this is just a replay of the same stories of Corso talking about the filing cabinet with the Roswell stuff in it, Chase Brandon talking about finding the Roswell box with the proof of Roswell in it. And so they tell that story. The last thing I heard, and this is only a couple days ago, is that Donald really is not that interested. And he did say that when he was asked about Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail. It's a subject that really doesn't interest him, and that he's pulled out of even being briefed on this as to what's going on, but that the program can go ahead. So he's actually pulled himself out of this. He's really not interested in what Ron is doing or what the plan is. But I can understand where people would sort of assume that people wouldn't tell Trump. What I would say to that is that the U.S. works on the U.S. Constitution and the laws, and people may not even want him to be president, but because he won the election, people allow him to be president. He may not be the guy to have the nuclear codes, but they allow him to have the nuclear codes. And I've dealt with these high-level people that I think that they just play by the Constitution, by the laws, that they're just doing the best they can, and that they may not even agree themselves that the right thing is being done, but they basically go according to what they've been told to do. And so
it was a really interesting scenario that seemed to be building during the election, you know, in the polls when Clinton seemed to be ahead, and you got John Podesta, who came here to Las Vegas and made himself available not only to one of our reporters, my colleague Steve Sebelius, but said in the interview he was encouraging other journalists across the country, go ahead and ask Hillary about this whenever she comes to town. And then, you know, one after another, these political figures are on Jimmy Kimmel and other interviews, and they're talking about UFOs. It really felt like something was building up there, that maybe that scenario, if somebody had something else in mind, that it was sidelined.
Yeah, and I think Hillary would have done something. And she made a couple of points that I always point out to people when you listen to how she did. Like, one thing was she never brought the subject up. She only answered questions, which is something that I hear over and over again, that they can't do it. They want you to do it. They want somebody to force the issue on them, that they can't do it themselves. And that's something that she talked about, is she said when she get into government, and maybe even John said that, she'll put all the stuff in front of her and she'll see if there's support, and then she'll do it, which tends to indicate the president has access to the material. They can get whatever they want. They can pull all this material, and that there's some sort of vote taken. There's some sort of decision made. And that was one of the stories I told in the book about Bush, that when the Soviet Union collapsed in August of 1981, there's a story that's told, Robert Collins has told it from his perspective, that they were actually going to they were actually going to make a disclosure event. Bush was contacted. He was at Kenny Bunkport. They were going to do it in August, when the week when the Soviet Union was dissolved, and they thought they had the votes, and it came down to a vote, and they had eight, and there were 16 people or something, and they thought they had the other votes, and they went in there, and they only had four votes, and it all fell apart, this sort of disclosure effort. So that's what I sort of see, is that the things work a lot more like you think they work in the government, like the constitutionally. But I do believe that Hillary would have done something. And again, you have the situation where, why doesn't Hillary talk? Because whatever she knows, it's classified. So she is never going to come out and say, well, I know there's bodies, I know there's crafts, because that's classified material. So she sort of just hints at it. And once she becomes president, then she has the authorization. But I absolutely believe that she would have done something, and it was sidelined. And the other important thing about it is, because John brought up the issue, if you remember 2008, Kucinich brought up the issue, and his campaign just went in the tank after that. He was like the crazy guy that you know, heard UFO voices. And Hillary didn't. Nothing happened. Like, Donald Trump didn't pick up on it. Nobody went after her. Nobody attacked her for the UFO thing, which tended to indicate that John had put this in front of a focus group. There's no way he wouldn't have.
Yeah, they had to do some polling somewhere.
Yeah, and because if it had gone south, if suddenly her campaign had gone south, John Podesta, who's not a stupid guy, would have gone down as the stupidest man that ever lived to destroy a $1 billion campaign by bringing up the UFO issue. So he knew before he brought up the UFO issue that it wasn't going to go south, and that's exactly what happened, which is kind of promising that people, the acclimatization is taking place, that it really doesn't shock people anymore, the UFO idea, that you can actually be sort of in a candidate, or be like Bob Bigelow, where you can come out on 60 Minutes and say, yeah, this is for real. I know it's for real, and I don't really care what anybody thinks about it. It's gotten to that point.
Let's take some calls. A first-time caller, Joseph in Houston. Hi, Joseph. You're on with Grant Cameron.
Good morning. How are you both doing today?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
Well, so we've been talking about misdirection, where, you know, you go to, they have planned a story about Area 51, and is it misinformation, or is it half-truth, or what? And back, I guess it may have been in the 70s. I don't know specifically the date, but there was a book that came out that was based on the MJ-12 papers that came out. Was that all misdirection or half truth, or what do you think about that? What was the purpose of that coming out?
Well, what I point out in the book is that people don't realize. Everybody always talks about MJ-12, the MJ-12 document. People don't realize there was 3,700 pages of MJ-12 stuff. And Joe Firmich put up $250,000 to research all this kind of stuff. This was an organization that was putting this out for a particular reason. What I say the MJ-12 thing was, they wanted people to know that there was an MJ-12 group. So they put out all these documents, to me, were phony. Every one of them was phony. But what you do is you take a document, you make a couple little switches to the document, and then you can say it's bogus, it's phony. So you provide this plausible deniability, but you get the idea out. And I do a chapter in the book where I start talking about all the people who have talked about MJ-12. Forget about the documents being phony. All the people like John Alexander, who said he had a guy whisper in his ear that, yes, MJ-12 was real. And not only that, but all the names on the document were correct. Now, John has a different interpretation of what MJ-12 was. The reason that I believed MJ-12 was for real right from the word go is we had, in 1987, we had contact with Dr. Eric Walker, former president of Penn State University, 14 honorary doctorate degrees, chairman of the board of the Institute for Defense Analysis, and only days after the MJ-12 document was first released in Washington, D.C., he was questioned about the document, and he said, look, I've known about them for 40 years. Leave it alone. There's nothing you can do. You're up against the windmills. Go and research something else. So he basically said, I've known of them for 40 years. This is 1987, which is 1947. And later interviews, he confirmed, yes, he knew who the MJ-12 people were. So I knew right from the word go. This is before it circulated around and people could, you know, make stuff up or whatever. This is right when these documents were released that he basically confirmed, yes, this is for real. So that's how you do it. You do it with phony documents, but what you want to do is get out the concept that there is a control group, but nobody can prove it. It's always this plausible deniability thing.
And now we have new MJ-12 documents. Thanks for the call, Joseph. Wildcard line, Jeff in Culver City. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, George and Mr. Cameron. Yes, when it comes to UFO disclosure, it's amazing and astounding that in 2017, the United States and Russia are still bumping heads, even after the Cold War, the breakup of the Soviet Union, and the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. At this very moment, the Russians are in Syria, thwarting the United States. The Russians are blamed for causing Hillary Clinton's loss of the presidency, and the Russians are supposedly linked to Donald Trump's finances and other, you know, political shenanigans. You know, for the life of me, I cannot understand what it is with Russia and the United States. But Mr. Cameron, when you mentioned earlier that both of these countries were, of course, involved in space programs and space exploration, you know, as well as the UFO mysteries, I just want to ask this question, Mr. Cameron. Do you believe that one, if not both, of these countries have this alleged alien technology, have been using it for decades for their own purposes, and do you believe that this is the cause of the ongoing rift and conflict between these two countries that has lasted for more than 70 years? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, I would say the dispute between the United States and the Soviet Union has got to do with nationalism. It's me versus you, good versus bad. I mean, everybody thinks they're the number one country. Do they have the technology? I've asked clearly to people who are in contact with these very high-level people. They say, yes, we have advanced technology, but we do not have the stuff that you read about, the secret space program where we're going and killing aliens on Mars and invading planets and stuff like that. We don't have that. We do have advanced technology, but we are not as far ahead as people think we are. And that was one of the stories of Kit Green, who is one of the most respected guys. If you read what Kit Green says, he was asked by a guy who was doing, it was called The Mirage Man, a book, and their idea was that this is all disinformation covering for government programs. And Kit said, no, don't throw this out. There's classified material in here. Don't throw it all out. He said, what would you do if you had to deal with the situation? Well, you'd put out all these memes about the reptilians are eating our kids. And then when it finally it comes out, if it breaks loose, it's going to be what they call the core story. And you've heard about this, George, the core story that apparently Jacques Vallée, Kit Green, and Hal Puthoff came up in 1987, which is the basic story. Yes, we have some sort of visitation, and yes, there has been a crash, and we're not doing very well on the back engineering stuff. And so what Kit Green says, well, the core story will come out. Well, we're just being visited. We really don't know as much as you think we do. And the first question people are going to say is, what, you mean they're not eating our kids? And you go, no, they're not. And, well, what's the big deal? And so this is what I believe is going on, and it is the core story. But they do have more control because they wouldn't be pushing to get this story out if it was a bad story. If it was the aliens are here to eat us, they wouldn't be trying to disclose this story.
Thanks, Jeff. East of the Rockies, Lori in Missouri. Good morning.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
The idea that I have, and, you know, I believe in aliens because I've seen them three times driving trucks for the last 15 years. I've seen three different instances. But I think the reason, my theory is that the government doesn't want to disclose about aliens being here and been here for, you know, millennia, is that it would bring into question religion, because if you admit that there's aliens and we're possibly descended from them, because there's references in the Bible about they came down from the heavens and they saw that we were fair and, you know, they beget, and that maybe that's how we began. So if you brought in the idea that aliens are our forefathers, then that could probably debunk all religions, and that would just be a firestorm.
That's one of the points on Grant's list of 60 plus reasons for sort of an ongoing cover up or confusion. Go ahead, Grant.
Yeah, and I should mention one of the other ones, and this apparently came from Jim Semivan, and this is one that's kind of controversial. Is there's two reports of the president being abducted, and the whole idea is they're running the show. And that apparently they abducted the president. With the story I heard is it was taken from a news conference. And, of course, the president was the only one who knew that he had been abducted. As I said, Kit Green, and I've heard this from two different sources, that Kit Green is on this group, this panel sort of thing that looks at people, high-level people who have had contact, and that the president was one of them, and that they froze the news conference, took the president, and brought him back. And that kind of stuff gets out, that they're actually abducting the president. And you can get to this, like Perez de Cuellar, Bud Hopkins had a story that Perez de Cuellar, the Secretary General of the UN, had been taken out of a convoy in New York City. As again, it's 1991, the same period where the Soviet Union was falling. And then there's the story of Jimmy Carter having the sighting. So the question is, did he just have a sighting, or was it an abduction experience? Are the beings actually running the president? And then the story that's told by Shirley MacLaine. Shirley MacLaine, and I asked through her web master, is she being misquoted? And they said, no, she's not. She stated that that Lucille Ball had told her that Ronald Reagan, his second sighting, was when he was coming down the coast to this cocktail party in Los Angeles, was not just a sighting, that he actually had an encounter, a face-to-face encounter with an alien. And so you get this kind of thing. Are they actually running the government? Are presidents actually under somebody else's control? So when you get these 64 reasons, you get religion, you get this abduction thing that, and I would say one of the main ones, I have a book that's just been put on Amazon called Charlie Red Star, which how my thing started. One of the key things that they want to cover up, that they will not go, and this is where the Benowitz thing, where they ran Benowitz, this is Linda Howe, they ran Linda Howe, it's got to do with nuclear weapons. If you get onto the nuclear weapons story, they will turn you, they will run you, because this is one of the stories they do not want out. A lot of this connection is warnings, cattle mutilations, according to Perkins, who has the biggest catalog of cattle mutilations, are all downwind and downstream from nuclear activities, above ground testing. Linda Howe was going to be doing she won an Emmy Award for her abduction experience, or her cattle mutilation thing, and that was when she had the encounter with Doty. And Doty said the government is very upset with you, with the documentary you did. And basically what they did to her is they shut down. She was doing HBO, a national broadcast, and she was going to put the cattle mutilation stuff on there. That kind of stuff they don't want out. They don't want Paul Benowitz saying that he's seeing UFOs over the Manzano weapon storage area, which was the biggest nuclear weapon storage area in the world. We do not want these stories about nuclear weapons. So that is one of the big things that is very, very sensitive, from what I found, is the nuclear weapon connection to this whole thing. And it involved my first sightings, which I detail in this book. Very clear nuclear weapons were involved with how I got involved in this thing.
Well, no place in the world has been more nuked than Nevada. And if you ask the Department of Energy for record, or AEC, for records of UFO sightings in proximity to above-ground nuclear tests, they'll say they never had any. However, you talk to people who worked out there, they had a ton of them.
Yeah, that's a definite connection. In fact, this Perkins guy, Dave Perkins, is his name, he said there was a 1997 study that was done by the National Cancer Institute on cancer rates downwind from the Nevada test site where they were doing the testing and stuff like that. And he said the map that they produced for cancer, high cancer rates, when you took it and put it on top of the areas where the highest cattle mutilations were, it was a complete match. And it's that kind of stuff where it really gets scary, where you do not see documents, you do not see people talking about this. This is something they do not want out. And that's one of the, because if you suddenly realize that we're contaminating the planet, there's all this nuclear stuff, people are getting cancer, and the aliens are giving us these warnings, that's the kind of stuff they don't want out. So they like you to talk about, you know,
aliens
and stuff like that, aliens and stuff. But it's these people got to realize there's all sorts of things that are behind the scenes that may not really have to do with aliens, but they just can't let this kind of stuff out in their position.
Grant, thanks for being here. I mean, no, it's a lot to cram into 2 hours, and it's true, because your book, I mean, it almost changes daily, but I appreciate you being here, and I hope you keep us in the loop.
I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
All right. The name of the book is Managing Magic. It's a heck of a read. Thanks also to my earlier guest, Mark O'Connell, the Close Encounters man, and to my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Nathan Staten and Donna Walker, our webmaster tonight, Lex Lonehood, Dan Galani, and producer Chris Boros. I'm George Knapp, and I'll be back next Sunday. Good night, everyone.